Blog Talk Radio.
Hi, everybody. This is Silvio Canto in Dallas, Texas, on Saturday, July the 7th. Very warm day here in North Texas. I guess I want to begin by congratulating Croatia, England, France, and Belgium. Those are your four World Cup finalists. I'm not much of a football expert. I'll admit that up front, but I do congratulate these four countries. I don't know. I do find it interesting, and I don't want to spend a lot of time on this because, as I said, I don't know much about the history of the game or the game itself. But I find it interesting that there's not a single country from South America or from South America, let's say, in this in the final four. I would have thought that Brazil was going to be one of the final four. Uruguay was looking very good. Argentina always looks good in these tournaments. So I don't know. I don't know what it says, but I am surprised that at least one of the four teams does not come from this part of the world. But best of luck, and I hope that everybody is happy and everybody can relax for a few days. I guess they'll be playing these final four games probably in the middle of the week or so, I guess gearing up to the big championship game whenever it is. I just hope, folks, that the championship game is not settled by penalty kicks. That's all I pray for. That is the worst possible way of deciding a game, but I don't want to get into that right now. Today we're going to talk about the Supreme Court. It looks like the president has three candidates, maybe one. But I think that the fate of the Supreme Court nominee is really going to be in the hands of five red state Democrats, and I'm going to get into that in just a second. I have a post coming out Sunday morning regarding Mexico and the system that they use to vote. You know, my friend Alan Wall wrote a very good piece about all of this, and he's written before many times about the Mexican electoral system, how they use a voter photo ID, and they have a very good way of keeping track of who's voting. And I think we should take a very serious look at it. I have always felt that a photo ID is a necessity when it comes to voting. So check out my post. It'll be out Sunday morning. And also, if you follow Alan Wall, check out his post on this particular topic as well. I have a post this morning, and let's begin with this. I have a post this morning over at the American Thinker talking about how the crazy left has suddenly become Donald Trump's biggest ally. They are single-handedly going to re-elect Donald Trump. And I'm talking, of course, about these crazy people who are going up the Statue of Liberty. I'm talking about these people who are blocking traffic because they want to abolish ICE. I'm talking about people like Maxine Waters, Representative Maxine Waters, who is frankly a disgrace. I don't know how she even keeps her seat in the House. I mean, it tells you a great deal about the voters in her district. I wouldn't want to be represented by somebody like that. This is a reckless, irresponsible woman who seems to be, all she knows is one song, and that is, let's impeach Donald Trump. Impeach him for what? She doesn't know. She just wants to impeach him. And all of this, when it's all said and done, it's actually helping Donald Trump, because it's presenting the other side as nothing but a bunch of crybabies who don't have any solutions, don't have any ideas, don't have anything other to say than we hate Trump. Well, we hate Trump is only going to get you the people you already have. Okay, the people who hate Trump are already voting against him. But the people you need to get are the people in the middle, maybe not so much Republicans, but people in the middle who may be tempted to listen to what you have to say, especially if you can make a rational, rational case about health care. Maybe you can make a rational case about trade and tariffs or the economy or public education or crime. I mean, people who are open-minded and will listen to a good case. But the left is not making that case. The left is all about we hate Trump. And I tell you, it's putting a lot of the Democrats who are running in competitive districts, I mean those Democrats in the center of the country, in some of these red states, it's putting them in a very difficult situation, because they have to respond to all of this. And I'm sure the last question, the last question that Joe Manchin in West Virginia wants to talk about or wants to answer is a question about abolishing ICE. The same with John Tester in Montana, or Joe Donnelly in Indiana, or the lady senator in North Dakota, or the lady senator in Missouri, these five red state Democrats. The last thing in the world they want to talk about is abolishing ICE, because that just doesn't play well with their constituents. So, I mean, I'll just say it again. The crazy left is single-handedly reelecting Donald Trump. They are in the process of single-handedly reelecting Donald Trump. And I just don't know what else to say other than that. And they keep it up. Look, as a Republican, I'm happy to see them, you know, with these tactics. They're not, again, they're not expanding their base. But they're also, you know, I think in some cases they're putting some people at risk. I mean, like the fellow down in San Antonio who removed somebody's Make America Great Again hat, or threats that are being made to Trump supporters. Look, I don't defend this either way. And if anything like that had ever happened to an Obama supporter, I would have been the first one to criticize it. That kind of activity doesn't belong in our politics. But right now, we're seeing that on the left. We're seeing that on the left. And they need to cut it out. Somebody in that party has to get up and say, folks, enough of this garbage. And President Obama would be the ideal person to do it. President Obama would be the great person to do it, to get up and say, hey, you know, we can disagree, but let's cut this out. I don't know if he's going to do it, but he would be, I think, perhaps the most, let's say, the best person to do it at the moment. Maybe Hillary Clinton would be helpful if she said it. Maybe Vice President Biden, you know, if he would come out and say, hey, we can disagree, folks, but we don't have to get into this level of rhetoric and violence. So I don't know. I don't know if they're going to do it, but it would be helpful if they would do it, because I think we're, you know, I'm very concerned that something real bad's going to happen. Something real bad's going to happen at one of these rallies, or some innocent person is going to get caught up in one of these activities. And I hate to think of what could happen, but we got to get our act together. And the crazy left, if you're part of the crazy left out there, you are doing a very good job in reelecting Donald Trump. You are Donald Trump's greatest ally. In the article that I wrote today at the American Thinker, I said that lady who was hanging from the Statue of Liberty, she has probably turned around more people in Trump's favor than anything that Donald Trump could have done. Because if you went to the Statue of Liberty on July 4th with your family because you wanted to spend some time you know, enjoying American history, and you cannot go up to the Statue of Liberty because some clown is up there protesting Trump, believe me, those people who were put through that, they're going to remember that the next time they vote. Believe me, they're going to remember that the next time that they vote. We're going to take a little break. I want you to hear from my friend Carlos Gebbins, and we'll be right back.
This is Carlos Gebbins Harpy. I would like to see you guys this Saturday night at Sissiki's at the Star, located at 6765 Winning Drive in Frisco. I'll be performing instrumental high-energy music at 6:30 until 9:30 p.m. Make your reservation today at 972-377-2276. Remember, Sissiki's at the Star is the place to hang out on Saturday night. For upcoming dates, look for me on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram.
And that's exactly right. And we have a link for you on the show information. If you see the show description right under that, it says Carlos' schedule. Click on it, and it'll tell you where he's playing around town. He's playing in a lot of places. I follow Carlos on Facebook. Many of you do, too. And he's everywhere. He's everywhere. He's playing a very heavy schedule, and that's because he's good. That's because he's good. A lot of people enjoy watching him play or having him as background music. Before we get to the Supreme Court and my point about the Democrats or the red state Democrats, let's remember this day in history. We say happy number 78 to Ringo Starr, the drummer of the Beatles. He was actually the oldest of the Beatles. He was born July 1940. John was born October 1940. Then McCartney was born June of 1942. And George Harrison was born in February 1943. So Ringo was always the oldest, I guess, by about 4 months over John. Ringo was also the last member of the band to join the group By the time he joined in the summer of 62, the band was already talking to George Martin about recording their first song. Of course, that was Love Me Do. And it was George Martin who basically brought about the change. He told the guys, hey, you know, if you want to keep Pete Best as your drummer, that's okay. But, you know, we need a different drummer for the recording. And so it turned out that Pete Best was let go. He was an old friend of John, Paul, and George. And he was replaced by Ringo Starr. And, of course, the rest is history, as they like to say. On this day in 1865, this is an interesting story. Mary Surratt was the first woman executed in the United States. She was arrested 2 days after the assassination of President Lincoln, and she was accused of being part of the plot to assassinate President Lincoln. It was a very, very complicated story, and I would recommend that you read something about it. It's very difficult for me to explain it in 20 or 30 seconds, but she allowed some of the collaborators to meet at her home. And her son, I believe, was also involved in talking to John Wilkes Booth and all of that. I don't think that she was ever directly involved, but, you know, in the heat of the moment, she was found guilty. What I found most fascinating about that trial, she was arrested April 17th, 1865, and she was executed July 7th, 1865. So that's, what, 2 months, 10 weeks? That's a pretty fast trial, and I think in retrospect, maybe they rushed through it. They wanted to do something, and they rushed through it. 10 weeks is probably a little bit too quickly to put someone to death. I mean, look, today we have some people on death row, and they wait years before they're finally executed. So Mary Surratt, one of the tragic figures, one of the many tragic consequences of that terrible Civil War. Well, let's talk about the Supreme Court. President Trump, apparently on Monday night, will announce his new pick. There are three people under consideration. Apparently, one of the three, Mary Coney Barrett, I think is her name. Mary Coney Barrett is the one that, or Amy, I'm sorry, Amy, forgive me, Amy Coney Barrett is the one who is apparently the top candidate. She is a graduate of Notre Dame Law School. She's been a federal judge for about a year or so. She was appointed in 2017. She is also the mother of six children, a wonderful personal story as well. And she appears to be the leading candidate. Now, she's got a lot of liberals freaking out because they think she's out to overturn Roe v. Wade, which is, of course, that's not the way it works. You don't set out to overturn Roe v. Wade. That's not how it works in the Supreme Court. You know, cases come to you, and then you make decisions based on the facts of the case. But you don't say, okay, well, let's get together and overturn Roe v. Wade. That's not how it works in the Supreme Court. But they're really freaking out over her. And I think it's unfortunate because, by all accounts, the lady has a very good background and certainly is qualified and has judicial temperament by all accounts and all of the people who rate these nominees. So maybe she's the one. There's two others, though. I don't want to say that she's the one. She's getting a lot of publicity, but there's two others who are also in the running. So we're just going to wait till Monday night and see what President Trump proposes. But it seems to me that she's going to get just about every Republican vote. There may be one, the lady from Maine, who says she doesn't want to vote for anybody who's hostile to Roe v. Wade, but I don't think this lady is going to say, or anybody's going to say anything about anything when they go through these confirmations. So my guess is that whoever the nominee is will get all 51 Republican senators. And then the real question is, what does the senator from Montana, North Dakota, Missouri, Indiana, and West Virginia, and I would add to that Doug Jones in Alabama, these six red state Democrats, what do they do? My guess is that they're going to vote for the nominee just to take an issue away from the Republican opponent. I mean, in many of these elections, the Republican opponent is saying that the Democrat running for reelection is going to always vote against President Trump. So this would be a great way for them to take that issue away from the Republican and say, well, no, you know, we will vote with the president if the president does the right thing or whatever. So my guess is that the nominee will get perhaps all of those Democrats, and there may be other Democrats too who do the right thing and look at the candidate. And you know, I tell you the story of President Obama. President Obama had two nominees for the Supreme Court, and each one of the nominees got people like Lindsey Graham and John McCain to vote for them. And it wasn't because they were 100% in agreement with the nominee. It's just that they felt that the president of the United States who won the election should have the option of selecting a Supreme Court justice. And as long as you present a qualified candidate, someone with a, you know, a judicial background and someone with judicial temperament and someone with good references, I mean, that's all that matters here. But, you know, Roe v. Wade has poisoned the water to such a degree in Washington, D.C., that everything's about Roe v. Wade. Anytime a Republican nominates someone to the Supreme Court, or for that matter, nominates anybody to the bench, it's all about Roe v. Wade. And I think it's very unfortunate. And by the way, this is one of the reasons that I would like to see Roe v. Wade terminated or overturned, not so much because of abortion, but because of what it's done to our politics. I mean, our politics is so deeply divided, and the water is so poisoned because of Roe v. Wade that I think it should be overturned just for the political sanity of the country, so that we can go back to a time when judges were selected and based on their qualifications, judicial temperament, and so on. I've told a story before of when President Eisenhower nominated three people to the Supreme Court. The last one was done by a voice vote in the U.S. Senate. A voice vote. That is how we used to do those things back then, before Roe v. Wade made everything so political and poisoned the water to the extent that it has. Look, if you believe that a woman has a right to have an abortion, fine. We can disagree with that, but fine. But I think those decisions should be made by legislatures. We need to send this back to the states and let the states decide this. Let the legislatures, let the people vote on abortion. My guess is that most of the states will pass some kind of an abortion option for women who want to have one. There will be some restrictions, as we see in other countries and so on. But the idea that it should be based on Roe v. Wade, it's just, I think, a poisonous, completely poisonous thing, and it's destroying the country when we should be, frankly, focusing on other things, not just Roe v. Wade. I mean, there's a lot of things that these justices are going to be voting on over the next 20 or 25 years, and to have the entire conversation be about Roe v. Wade is, in my opinion, counterproductive. I'll just put it that way. Again, congratulations to the World Cup finalists, Croatia, England, France, and Belgium. And may the best team win. That's all I can say. As long as they don't decide it by penalty kicks, I won't say anything further. Have a great weekend, everybody. This is Silvio Canto in Dallas, and talking to you from Dallas, where it's very warm. Thank you.